You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church, everybody. I'm so glad that you made it. Welcome, welcome to all of our friends watching online from all around the world. We want to say a very special welcome to you. I want to welcome those of you watching. We have people watching from Malaysia, from Maine. We have people watching from Cameroon. Hey, Barry family, good to see you guys. Love you, love you. We have people watching from Pakistan, from all the way in Abilene. Mineral Wells, Graham. We have people watching from Tyler. People watching from Sabine. That is close enough. Just get over here. We got a service. We got people watching from all over. Hey, we want to just give you a warm, special welcome as you're tuning in from all over the world. Come on, Irish family. Let's welcome them in together. Thank you, thank you, thank you for watching. Don't forget to hit that share button. If you like what's being said here, God's using your social media to make a difference all over the world. He's also using your giving. I want to say thank you for all of you who are standing behind us financially. You guys are making a massive difference. And because of your generosity, we were able to bless the teachers of Ware Elementary this past week with the Lord's chicken, the best chicken. We gave them an amazing Chick-fil-A breakfast, and that's all done because of your generosity. Thank you for caring about those that are getting ready to start another school year and taking care of your little brats. Somebody ought to applaud them for doing the jobs that all of us are thankful that they're actually doing. Come on, somebody. It is back to school week for many of us, and so we want to make sure we take care of those that are taking care of our little ones. That's an awesome thing. Thank you for being a generous church. Thank you for standing behind us. You guys are doing awesome things, and there are a lot of people in this city that are very grateful because of what we're doing here and how we're making a difference all around our community. Awesome. Grab your Bibles if you would. I want to show you a scripture that the Lord was leading me to this week as I was praying for you out of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to bring a message called Fighting for Us. Fighting for us. And over the next few moments, we're going to talk about what it means to not just fight with your family, but to fight for your family. Not just what it means to fight for your right to be right or fight for your right to party. No, we're talking about fighting for us. What does it mean to stay in the fight when we're at stake? We're going to talk about what it means to walk in unity with one another and how the biblical understanding of that may be a little bit different than how we've been applying it. I'm believing that by the time we're finished up today that you're going to have some tools necessary to bring unity into your marriage, onto your job, into your parenting styles, and into the body of Christ. And when we're working together to do that, it's going to be a pretty powerful thing. You know, this is the season of division. We are living in the most divided time that I've ever known in my entire lifetime. And we're heading into election season, so it ain't going to get better. It's going to get worse. And so in the midst of all the division that is happening, in the midst of all the different opinions that are about to be screamed at you from every social media outlet, I want us to think about God's way, which shows us something completely different than man's way. It's pointing us back to one important thing, unity. Somebody say unity. Unity. So what does that look like to live and to walk, to operate in unity? Does that mean we just lay down our rights? Does that mean we try to just not argue with anybody? Does that mean we can't have good disagreements? No, 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 no. Biblical unity is something completely different than perhaps what we've thought of it as. I was reminded when I was little, my brothers and sisters, we would always ask our mother, you know, try to ask her as much as possible. Whenever we got a little bit of money to scrape together, ask her if we could walk to the store. And she'd always let us, if we made a promise, that we would always stick together. And as I was praying for you, I was asking the Lord, what should we bring this week? The Lord was reminding me of those words, stick together. So let the words of my mother kind of be spoken over you today. Stick together. Stick together. Stick together. What does that look like? In Ephesians chapter 4, the Lord begins to show us what it means to stick together. From the very beginning of time, we see that God blessed first man, and he said, I'm going to bless you, and I want you to be fruitful and multiply. So we know this through basic observation and basic math, that the greatest enemy of multiplication is division. Division. So if you ever want to see what God is doing, you're going to recognize it by exactly what the enemy is doing in his effort to come against what God is doing. When God says, be fruitful and multiply, the enemy says, let's divide. And by the way, we see that at work a lot in our world right here today, don't we? Division. As a matter of fact, if we're going to get honest, Sunday is the most divided and segregated day in the body of Christ. We will divide not just on the lines of theology, we'll divide upon the lines of race. Division. Division. So when God was creating all that we see, at the very beginning of Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that at the end of every day, God looked at everything that he created. He said he saw that it was good. Somebody remember that story? Everything that God did, he said, it was good, it was good, it was good. The very first thing that God ever said, this is not good, is when he said, it's not good for man to be alone. Now, some of us would say, I take exception to that. I love being alone. Some of you, when COVID hit and they're like, we're going to shut down the whole world, you're like, this is my time to shine, baby. Get out. It is now illegal for you to be next to me. And I love it. Let me just remind you of the biblical value of unity. It's a big deal. It matters in your family. It matters in your parenting style. It matters within your finances. It matters within the body of Christ. Unity matters to the Lord. And so in Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter from prison, and he's writing to this group of believers that have banded together in the city of Ephesus, and he's encouraged them, and he's blessing them, and he's saying all the great things that he's noticing about them and all the things that he's heard back as he's sitting in prison, and he reminds them, he gives them this charge. He reminds them how important it is for them to stick together, and that's the message that I'm bringing from the Lord to you today. I want to remind you of the importance of sticking together. Why is that so important? First of all, because we're heading into election season, and we saw what happened 4 years ago when we were approaching election season. Let me just remind you of a couple of things. You're still here. The world didn't end. No matter if you got your way or you didn't get your way, and the same is going to be true when we vote this fall. The world's not gonna end, no matter if your candidate gets elected or not. The most important thing is not that you get your way, not that you get to celebrate over someone else, but that we stick together as believers. God's plan trumps man's politics, and God's plan is bigger than American politics. We have to remember that. This is important, or you will get carried away by every single thing that is about to be thrown at you. It's going to divide. Please hear me. I shouldn't be telling you something that you haven't seen. You saw this. You see it, and here it comes again. Division is the plan of the enemy. But God looked at man and said, be fruitful, and I want you to multiply. We're supposed to be growing. We do that by sticking together, bearing much fruit. So in Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul writes this to this little church. And he says this, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. I wish we could just stop right there and spend the rest of our time together today on the importance of those words. The weight that Paul says, he says, look, in the middle of all the things that you're going through, I'm gonna urge you, I'm gonna challenge you, I wanna push you, I wanna dare you, whatever it takes to live a life worthy of the calling that God has put on your life. You have a calling. God has called you out of darkness and into light. You have a purpose. There is beautiful, divine purpose on your life. And Paul says, live up to that calling, come on. Become who God has called you to be. Live a life worthy of the call that God has put on your life. What's that gonna look like? What are you asking me to do? And he gets into the details of what that means to live a life worthy of the calling that God has given us. He says this, be completely humble. Be gentle. He goes on to say, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Well, you had me when you were building me up, Apostle Paul, then you told me to be completely humble and you lost me. Be gentle, yeah, not me. Bear with one another in love, oh, you're asking a lot of me, Paul. You're asking a lot. But he says this, make every effort. Would you say those three words with me? Make every effort. I want you to recognize the weight that he's putting on those three words. Make every effort. What are you asking me to make every effort to? What's so important that you're asking me to do? He said, make every effort to keep the unity. It's gonna take a lot of effort to stay together. Anybody that's been married for longer than 5 minutes knows that this is true. It takes a lot of effort, and it can't all be on one person. It takes two people being willing to stand in the gap and to fight, not against one another, but for one another, to stay in unity within your marriage. It takes a lot of fighting to stay together. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I want you to recognize those words as well. The bond of peace. Had someone earlier in the first service that said, I was trying to type those words into my notes as I was taking notes on your sermon, and I kept writing bond of peace, and it would auto-correct it to bong of peace. I'm like, what in the world? That's one way to do it. But that's not what he's talking about. Come on, somebody. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Skip down to verse 12. Why are we doing this? It says, so that the body of Christ, that's us, may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. So this is the goal, that you mature. At some point, you're gonna have to grow up. He says, I want you to be spiritually mature. What's the key to that? He said, unity. That's the hard part. Learning to walk together so that you can grow up and become mature. And what's gonna happen when we do that? When we make every effort to put into unity, what's gonna happen? He says this, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. By the way, if you don't understand what that's saying, just look back about 4 years ago and watch what happens and everybody just blown back and forth. We don't know what to believe, not sure where to go, not sure who's telling the truth, not sure who's lying, not sure who to vote for, not sure if this is right, is that right? We saw that grip our entire world. That's the very epitome of what he's talking about. How do we fix that? How do we not walk back into that again? He said, unity, stick together and you're gonna start growing to become spiritually mature. Then you're not gonna get tossed back and forth by that stuff. It's not gonna have the same effect on you. You'll no longer be tossed back and forth by every wind of doctrine. He said, instead, or as an alternative, this is what I want you to do. Speak the truth in love. Now, some of us are not afraid to be truth speakers. I'll tell you the truth. Can you add the in love part? This is how we stay in unity. We tell the truth, but we do it with a lot of love. It's like, hey, I love you with all of my heart. Wear deodorant. I'm a friend, right? Help me help you. Speak the truth, he says, in love. And then we will grow to become, look at that last word, mature. So the goal of our life is to grow up. The goal of our life is to become spiritually mature. We ought to be looking more and more like Christ every day. But unfortunately, we don't like the process sometimes. What does it mean to grow up in the faith, to become spiritually mature so that the things of the world don't affect us the same way it affects everybody else? He said the key there is unity. It was something that the church was struggling with then, and it's something that the church still struggles with today. It's hard for us to stay connected, to stay together. And in a time of a lot of division, God is calling us back to unity. Would you say that word with me? Unity. So he says, in all these things, I'm looking for you to grow up and become mature. I have to say that of all the words ever used to describe me, mature has never been one. Not ever. If someone says, oh, I love Pastor Tim, he's a very mature guy, you know that they have never met me. I wish that could be said of me. I wish I could, oh, he's very mature. It's just not true. I have never been labeled mature by anyone who's ever known me. I am very much immature. I apologize. I get it. Some people will say, hey, we couldn't come to your church because you're very immature. I know. I'm sorry. It is what it is. You get what you get. I know me. I get it. I've never been labeled as very mature. It's to my own hurt sometimes, but I like me. And I found this to be true, is that I can become who God has called me to be. I can become spiritually mature and not lose my personality. But when you're talking about maturity, when you're talking about maturity as a person, like that's not gonna be used to describe me. I'm immature. I will laugh at inappropriate things at the inappropriate time. It's never at the right time. I never can find that timing. What I have learned in all of my years is the best thing that I can do with my immaturity is to not break up laughing, but to get someone else to laugh, get them in trouble, have an outlet for my immaturity, and say, yeah, what's wrong with you? Well, you're so immature. That's the key. That is expert level immaturity, when I can get someone else to get in trouble for my immaturity. This has happened, by the way, on multiple church staffs. I get in trouble. And so I've had to learn, how do I keep from getting in trouble? Get somebody else in trouble first. Can we be honest in God's house? Can we be honest today? We were sitting in a staff meeting one time, and I'll share this with you because we're on camera and everybody's watching around the world. Let me just tell you, this happened. We're sitting in a staff meeting one time, and the pastor was really upset because we weren't putting in a lot of effort. He wasn't seeing a lot of things change, and he was talking about all the things that we weren't supposed to be doing that we were actually doing. He says, we've talked about what we don't do. Let's talk about what we... And he said it. Some of you are like, what's he talking about? You'll figure it out in a minute. Think very immature. We talked about what we don't do. Now let's talk about what we, and I'm like, somebody, Somebody, come on. He said it. But it was completely inappropriate. This guy is going for it. We're all in trouble. And I'm like, oh. So I look over at my friend, Pastor Andrew, who was the children's pastor at the time, and I'm like, he looks up at me and catches my eye, and he's like, oh, no. And he couldn't help, but he finished the phrase. The whole staff meeting stopped. Everyone stares at him. Oh, how dare you say that? We're all in trouble. I'm like, yeah, what's wrong with you? He gets in trouble for being so immature. And I'm like, yeah, grow up. He just stared at me like, I will kill you. I will kill you. That is expert level immaturity right there. Now, fortunately, Paul is talking about spiritual maturity, growing up in our relationship with the Lord. So growing up in our relationship with the Lord doesn't necessarily mean that we're always going to just lose our personality and lose our ability to laugh. Come on, the joy of the Lord is our strength. But it talks about there is a point where unity helps us to become more like Christ. Here's a couple of things I want to share with you. Some main points, some good takeaways that I think will help you if you apply them to your marriage or to your parenting style, to your job, and especially to the body of Christ. Here's the first thing to understand biblical unity. Number one, there is no spiritual maturity without unity. There is no spiritual maturity without unity. This is critical because many people have the same mindset that I've had at multiple times in my life, where it would just be easier if all I had to worry about was me. It would just be easier if it was just my relationship with Jesus and I didn't have to worry about nobody else. But there are some things that you will never understand about your relationship with Christ until you have a relationship with people. So when Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? He doesn't give things like thou shalt not kill, but that's a pretty important one. He says, no, you're gonna love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. He places both of those together as important as the greatest commandment that he could give us. Not a suggestion, a commandment. Love God, love people. The loving God part is much, much easier. Why? Because he's perfect. And he's holy in every way. He never makes a single mistake. It's much, much easier to love God than it is to love imperfect people who get on my last nerve. Not you, not you. People in third service, not you. You don't do that. People will upset me. They'll offend me. They say the wrong thing. They're immature. They're red flag and toxic. How do I really love people and strive for unity? How do I apply this word to my everyday life? How do I grow in this? If I'm ever gonna become spiritually mature, I'm gonna have to recognize the importance of the value of unity, learning how to get along with God's people. See, growing up in Christ includes learning how to operate as a group. You can't do it on your own. How do we know this? Because Jesus Christ himself called his disciples, all of these different individuals from all different walks of life, he called them together as individuals to become part of a group. So what do you think happened when the greatest leader that's ever walked this planet, Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, takes these amazing individuals and puts them together? With all of his incredible leadership, what did they do? They fought. They offended each other. They got on each other's nerves. We see this echoed in the Gospels, by the way. We're like, what about these guys? And this guy got a nickname, and this guy got to see the miracle, and this guy, you gave him this, and what about me? And which one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Can we sit on your right hand? Can we sit on your left? These guys are the sons of thunder. Well, you call this guy Peter. And we see this echo to Jesus' words, how much longer do I have to stay with you? If that is not the words of a parent, I don't know. I can't imagine anything more parent-like. How much longer must I be with you? You can just see Jesus like, it takes a lot to stay in unity. It took it for Christ. It's gonna take the same for you. It takes a lot to stay together. So when Jesus tells us the greatest commandments to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love people, he means it. And he modeled it first. So I believe this to be true. You're gonna grow in Christ when you value a personal relationship with him and a congregational relationship with him. This is the hard part. But spiritual maturity starts with unity, being a part of believers, being connected to the body of Christ. So scripture calls us as the church the body of Christ. And it doesn't say it's a bunch of different denominations. No, it talks about us. And so in the midst of all of our divisions and all of our theological differences, the Bible still calls us to become one. That's why it's so important for us to work together with other churches, even in our city, to show them, I'm not here to compete against you. I'm here to help. Let's push each other. We can do this together. Why? Because we're on the same team. Let's find what we have in common and work together. Those are big deals. Those are things that are different about us than perhaps other churches. I'm not here to compete. I'm here to fight for you, not to fight against you. And this is where God begins to bless, because nobody else gets it. We're not only called the body of Christ, the Bible calls us the bride of Christ. Now, if anyone ever comes up to you and says, man, you know, Dave, I really love you. Really love you, Dave. But you know, your wife, can't stand her. That's not a compliment to Dave. That's an incredible insult. If someone ever says, Tim, I love you, but oh, Tina, man, can't stand her. Like, first of all, you don't know either one of our wives. I promise you, that's the best part of both of us. But think about when we talk about how much we love the Lord and how much we can't stand his church. Now, I'm not saying the church is perfect. We've got our issues. We're imperfect. There's a lot of believers with some real problems. But we're his bride, and he loves us. He's coming back for his bride. And to have a relationship with Christ means you're going to have a relationship with his bride. There's no getting around it. So it's best that we learn how to walk in unity as we grow to become mature. Anybody getting something out of this? Is this okay? Here's the second key I want to share with you. Number two, unity is going to take a fight. Unity will take a fight. It's a fight worth having, but in order to stay together, in order to make this work, we have to be willing to fight for what we know is right. And here's the difference. We're not just going to fight the way that the world fights. No, no, no. Our weapons aren't against flesh and blood. You're not the enemy here. We're going to fight for each other, not against each other. We're going to be willing to stay in the trenches and have the conversations to work together, to find some common ground, to make this work. Now, what I'm not saying here is you need to be staying in an abusive relationship. Someone just runs all over you and abuses you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about unity within the body of Christ and how to apply biblical principles to your marriage and to your parenting. Unity is going to take a fight, but you're not going to fight in the same way that you think you're fighting. As a matter of fact, the Lord shows us a bunch of different ways. Paul says this, I want you to make every effort. He doesn't say, make them make every effort. He says, you make every effort to keep the bond of peace. Make every effort to keep the bond of peace. What does it mean to have that bond of peace? What does it mean to make peace? Does that mean we just roll over? We don't have opinions? Does that mean we just try to keep everything quiet? I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to have any ups. No, no, no. That's something completely different. Biblically, he says, make every effort to keep that bond of peace. So making peace means I love you more than I want to be right. I love you more than I want to win. Somebody needs to get something out of this. This is better than what your amen in me. I love you more than I want to win. You're more important to me. So when the Bible talks about making peace, I'm reminded of Jesus' words in the most famous sermon of all time, in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Notice Jesus says, I want you to be peacemakers. There's a blessing on peacemaking. He does not say there's a blessing on peacekeeping. There's a big difference between being peacemakers and being peacekeepers. One, by the way, peacemaking is very active. Peacekeeping is passive. And many of us are fighting for unity with a peacekeeping attitude. I'm just here to shut up and be quiet. I'm not going to say anything. Just going to roll over, not have any opinions. Why? Because I'm trying to keep the peace and keep unity. That doesn't mean that that's what he's asking of us. No, he said, make every effort. It's active. To make peace, to fight for it. It takes a fight. Well, who am I fighting? I want you to know that sometimes the greatest battles that you're ever going to fight as Christians, they're not exterior, they're mostly interior. You're fighting yourself. My greatest battles are right here and right here. Because I can argue really, really well. Even if I'm wrong, I can argue really well. My parents told me, you should have been an attorney. And I can just argue. Just take the other side of it. And I love it. I enjoy it. But I've found out that a lot of people don't. I thought we were having fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy the debate. It brings me a lot of happiness. But I realize that there are people that just want to get along with me. Okay, man, okay. No, don't say okay. Had a person one time, this is crazy, but we're arguing back and forth. That person starts crying. I'm like, why are you crying? That's not fair. I thought we were just debating something. I'm just taking the other point. I don't even disagree with you. I just enjoy it. That's not fighting for someone. That's fighting to win. Jesus said, blessed are peacemakers. Those are my kids. Those that are willing to fight the good fight, to fight for each other, to fight for the unity. So how do we do that? What are you asking me? What does it look like practically? Paul gives us four things that he says are going to be necessary. If you want to keep unity, if you want to fight to keep that kind of bond of peace, he says it's going to take things that don't come natural to us. It's going to take a fight within each of us to do this. But he says you're going to have these four things. Humility, I'm 0 for 1. Gentleness, close. 0 for 2. He says you're going to have to be patient. Yeah, I think we're pretty much all out. And then he says love. Those are hard things sometimes for us to hear. But when he says make every effort, what are you asking me to do? He said, I'm asking you to walk in humility, to fight with humility, fight from a position of humility. You know, arguments completely change when you approach them with humility. Disagreements completely change when you approach with humility. When was the last time that you argued with humility? When was the last time you say, hey, I disagree, I could be wrong, but can you tell me what you meant? You said this, and I felt like that was this. I know that that's probably not you, so help me for a second. I need some help understanding this. That's a completely different approach then. You need to make sure you give me some clarity right now. Like, okay, let's start with humility. And then gentleness. Gentleness. How do you fight with gentleness? Look at that biblical concept there. He said, approach it with gentleness. You know, the Greek word that he's using here is not just a word that means to be gentle. It gives us a word picture of a cool breeze on a hot day. Now, for those of you that have, this is your first summer in Texas, let me just tell you, it hasn't gotten hot yet. Surprise! This week, you started experiencing some heat. The Lord's just turning it up, just reminding you, hey, hell is hot. You don't want to go. You're like, oh, the year's almost over. Fall's almost here. Yeah, not so much. It hadn't got hot yet. But I tell you what, when you experience that kind of heat and you get a nice cool breeze on an afternoon, you're like, oh, that's something special. And this is the word that Paul uses. You want to fight for unity? Be the gentle breeze into a hot situation. Be the calming breeze that comes in. This is how we keep unity. Approach it with gentleness. And he says, do it in the spirit of love. Because I love you. I don't have to win. I only win when we're together. One of the greatest battles that we ever had to fight is when I first came to this church to take over as pastor and we had an eldership that was here. Both of us had to find a way to get in unity quick. We had to fight for unity because each of us has an idea of what the church needs to look like. Each of us has an idea of what the future needs to look like. And each of us has a plan for how it's supposed to go. We can't all be right. So we had to hear from the Lord and be willing to fight for our unity. One of the greatest things that we see is the benefits and the blessings that have happened because we were willing to fight for unity. And we can say things like, hey, we can disagree in this room, but by the time we get up and walk out of that room, we're going to be completely unified. Because when we walk out of here, we're brothers. But inside this room, let's talk about it. Say it to the degree that we feel it. Let's work it out. Because when we walk out of here, we're going to be unified. Because those people need to see a strong face of people that have heard from the Lord and have come to an agreement that this is where we're going next. That's important for us to lay down our rights to be right, submit to one another out of reverence for God. That's the healthy part of the foundation of this church. And if I can do it and we can do it, you can do it in your family. Submission is a hard thing for us to do, but it's worth the fight. Learn to submit to one another out of reverence for God. Unity is a fight worth fighting. So when we truly love someone, it's much, much easier to overlook our differences. Because I love you, I can argue with you, and know that we can have differences of opinion, we're gonna stay together. We don't have, unity does not mean uniformity. We have to agree on everything, we're not in unity. I wish someone could tell some of these young couples that are getting married, you're gonna disagree, that's okay. You're not the same. one of the very first conversations we have when people are walking into premarital counseling is, you both have an idea of what your family's gonna look like, and neither of you understand what the other person's feeling, but you think you're in unity, and you ain't. So let's talk about what your idea of a family needs to look like so we can come together and determine what your family's gonna look like. Unity doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. It means we're gonna fight for each other and find a way to come to common ground. You getting anything out of this today? Is this all right? If you say, oh, we agree about everything, okay, then what are you having for lunch after this service? Does she know that? That doesn't mean you get a divorce because you couldn't decide between, you know, Chewies or Bubba's. Like, come on, just go eat. If you can't come to agreement, say, I'll meet you in the parking lot when we're done. I've learned that it's okay to let them win. Like, I'll have Bubba's tomorrow. It's okay. Here's the third and final thing I want to leave you with. When we're talking about biblical unity, and this is the most important, unity keeps us stable. Unity keeps us stable. And Paul reminds us of this point when he says, when you're striving for unity, when you're doing this with gentleness and patience and love and humility, he said, you're not going to get tossed around like everybody else is going to be tossed around with every different idea and all the divisions that are coming. It's going to keep you stable. Yeah. Let me just remind you of this. About 4 years ago when we're walking into the pandemic, I was so overwhelmed by the goodness of God in spite of the unstable times. Our whole world was shaken. In the midst of all that, our church began to grow, it began to explode. People were getting saved left and right. While other churches were shutting down, we were growing. While other churches were struggling, the Lord was saying, this is your finest hour. Because we stuck together. We experienced unity. And we saw the benefit of it. And let me just remind you, this fall, there's going to be more elections. And in those election seasons, division is at the top of every page, at the forefront of everyone's mind, who I disagree with, who I agree with, who thinks like me, who doesn't think like me, who's gonna win, who's gonna lose. Let me just remind you, unity is more important. Unity is more important. Stick together. So the Apostle Paul writes this from prison to a group of people that are struggling to love one another. But he says, I'm so proud of you. You're not like everybody else that just gets scattered to the wind when things go crazy. You guys have stuck together and it's kept you safe. It's kept you stable. He says, you're no longer gonna be tossed around. We need that word today. You need it, your marriage needs it. Your finances need it. Your children need it. Our church needs it. He reminds us of the importance of sticking together. Several years ago, my family and I went on to, we went to Colorado to suffer for the gospel on vacation. And we decided one of the things that we wanted to do was go whitewater rafting. And it was a great idea, in theory. Until they try to tell you, like, what kind of level do you want? And they're like, you know, you can do level one, which is just like a lazy river. I'm like, yes, that's, I'm in. They're like, what about level two, where you have a couple of things where you're like, oh, okay. And I'm like, okay, let's do level two, you know. Level two is like, oh, my God, everybody's dying. Don't let them lie to you. We get in this thing with several people in my family, and my daughter's up front, you know, grabbing the rope, and me and my son are in the back, And the most important thing to learn about whitewater rafting is listen to your guide. They put a guide on the back of every boat. They say, everybody row left. We're rolling right. This is the way you want to do this. And I realized that as soon as we hit the rapids, ain't nobody listening to her. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, she's the only one that knows this river. Everyone else, like, this is a ride at Six Flags. Woo, having a great time. Like, we're about to die. This thing is spinning, going left to right, going up and down and back and forth, getting tossed every way. And she's like, come on, work together. I'm like, yeah, what she said. Ain't nobody listening. They're all, woohoo, just throwing the paddles in the water. Like, what are we doing? And so we hit a particularly rough patch, and the boat just like comes straight up where the front end is out, and my daughter's up at the front, like just legs dangling, hanging by this rope, hanging on. And then my son gets flipped off the back, and no one notices. And so I'm looking, you know, my head is underwater, and I look back and I see my son falling into the bottom of the river. Now, this is in the high alpine desert, so it's super hot outside, but the water's like 40 degrees. So as soon as you hit that water and that cold hits you, you go, and he sucks in all this water. And so I see his mouth come open. I see his lungs fill up with water. And I see his eyes get big. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, he's going to drown. And so I reach back with all of my might and I grab a hold of his life jacket with my left hand, fling him back up over my head, throwing him back into the boat, like with some kind of superhuman left-handed strength. I have no idea where that came from. Is that mommy bear strength, whatever that is. Like I had that for one moment of my life and picked up another human being and launched them over my head back into the boat. And of course, everyone else, when we finally get out, like, wasn't that great? I'm like, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. Why? Because in the middle of all this stuff going on, like you didn't recognize, like there's people that could die here. There's a sense of real danger. You're thinking it's just a fun ride. Look at this. Like, no, no, no. Like there's something serious going on here. Let me remind you of the importance of sticking together and working together, listening for direction, hearing the voice of the Lord, and working together as a group of believers. I need you. You need me. Stick together. I want to remind you that Paul says, make every effort. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit with the bond of peace. I want to leave you with that question today. I want to make sure that you see it. I want to put it on the screen. What would it look like if I legitimately made every effort to keep unity? What does that look like for you? What if it became more than just saying, amen? Good message, Pastor. What if you took it personally and said, you know what? For me and my family, I'm going to make every effort to stay connected, to stay together. For some of you, that means it's time to plant down roots here. You need to connect. And if this is not your home church, get to your home church, plant roots, stay, stick, get connected to a group of believers. You need it. The body of Christ needs it. But make a commitment to get planted, stick, stay. I'm gonna encourage you to give, get invested into your home church. Let your finances be there. Serve there. Connect to one another, get in a group. Groups are launching, by the way, this week. We have multiple groups launching all over the city. We probably have one in your neighborhood. We want you to get involved in a group. Why? You need this. You need unity. It's time for you to stop doing life alone. It's not good for you to do life alone. So I'm encouraging you. I'm challenging you. I'm pushing you. I'm daring you. Like the Apostle Paul, I urge you, get connected. Stay connected. Plant roots deep within the body of Christ and say, I'm here. I'm not going to be blown around by every wind of doctrine that comes, by everything that looks good. Every time I get angry, every time I get upset, every time somebody says the wrong thing or somebody didn't say hi to me, I'm not leaving church for the next 3 weeks to teach y'all a lesson. Stop. Stop. It's not about you. Unity is how we become spiritually mature. Embrace being connected. Group together. Give together. Serve together. Grow together. God's calling us to be a group of believers that will stand in the gap for one another. And when the world begins to be tossed and turned over the next few months, the world will look to the church and say, why are you guys different? It's not the same in there. You guys are stable in unstable times. And that's our testimony to the world, that the gospel of Jesus Christ helps us. It's for real help in the middle of times where it seems like there's no help available for any of us. Get connected. It's good for you. By the way, this is not just something that I'm telling for people. It's something that I apply to myself. It's something that we apply to our church. We have our event called Unite happening September the 12th at the Belcher Center. Multiple churches now coming together all across this city to glorify the name of the Lord and to learn and to grow together, to be in the same room at the same time. That's a big deal. It's working. It's good. I want you to be a part of it. I think the Lord's going to move in a mighty and a powerful way, and I want you to experience that. You need to see it. Is that okay, everybody? So as we're finishing up today, I want to give you a chance to maybe respond to what the Lord might be telling you. So would you mind bowing your head and closing your eyes? I like to pray a simple prayer. When I've read God's word and I feel like the Lord is speaking to me, when he's challenging me, I just simply pray this. I say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What's my action step? How can I respond practically to what you've just told me? Are there some things I need to fight for in my marriage? Do I need to have a hard conversation but approach it with gentleness and humility? Do I need to ask forgiveness for some foolish offenses? Do I need to forgive someone else for what they've done that might have hurt me? The small, petty things that have caused division. Lord, how can I show humility and gentleness, patience and love? How would you like me to do that? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us today? So Father, in a spirit of reverence, being open to what you're saying, we just submit to you and ask that you would speak to each of us. Help us, Lord, to walk in unity in our marriages, in our parenting style, as the body of Christ. Help us to love one another. Help us to be committed to one another. Help us to lay aside our differences of opinion. Help us to lay aside our offenses, our hurt feelings, and to strive for unity. It matters. Lord, would you bless my friends as they respond to your word, as they're obedient to what you're asking of them, in Jesus' name. And now with every head bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today or you've been watching online and you would say, Pastor, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I need a relationship with Jesus. My friend, you're in the right place. Or maybe like me, you were raised in church, but you didn't have a real relationship with the Lord and you've gotten away from the Lord. Maybe you need to come home today. My friend, if that's you, I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me. I want to invite you to make this right today. I want to invite you into a relationship with the Lord. And I want to invite you to come home. It all starts with a prayer. And you can pray it out loud. You can pray it in your own mind. It doesn't matter. The most important thing is that you believe it. But pray this prayer if you want a relationship with Christ. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you came and died for me. I believe that you rose again so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my sins. Will you forgive me? I give my life to you right now, and I thank you for what you did for me. In Jesus' name I pray. And now with heads bowed and eyes closed, my friends, if you just pray that prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. That's not my heart. But if you actually pray that prayer, would you do me a favor? Would you look up at me and just lift up your hand all across this place and say, that was me. I did. I prayed that prayer. Good. I see you, young lady. Yes, sir. Anyone else today? I prayed that prayer. Good for you. I want you to know if that was you, and maybe you're watching online, there's a number appearing on your screen. Text the words, I prayed, to that number, and I'm going to send you the link to some things that will help you understand what just happened inside of your heart and what to do next. We're incredibly proud of you and grateful that you're willing to do that. I want to remind you that this is not the end of your relationship with Jesus. This is the beginning, and we want to help you to have a fruitful and amazing relationship with your Creator. It's a good thing. Let us help you with that. For everybody else, go ahead and look up at me if you would, and let's stand to our feet together. I want to thank you all for watching online. And if you liked what you heard today, if you believe that this is an important message for our world and for Christians all around the world, do us a favor, share this message on social media. It's always an amazing thing to watch God's people mobilize and use their social media to replace some of the trash that's out there with something that's positive and good and that can bring life. I believe God's word brings life. And so when you choose to do that, it makes a big difference. And we have between 2,000 and 3,000 people watching all around the world all week long at different times. It's a beautiful thing, and it does a lot to bless us. So thank you for that. Also, I have our elders and their wives are going to step forward. And as this service ends today and people are leaving, I want you to know that we're going to stay right here to be available to pray for you about anything that you might need prayer for. We would love to pray for you. We would consider it an honor if you would let us pray for you in whatever situation you might be facing. And then for everybody else, I want to bless you and send you out today. So let me bless you. Father, I thank you for my friends. Would you bless them with an incredible week following after you, joining together in unity, in Jesus' name, and all of us said together, amen. God bless you as you go. I hope you have an awesome week.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.